I'm excited about today's message, and I want to say it in the right way so that you can hear what God has to say. And so here's the deal. This, what I'm talking about, is so important that if I get it wrong, I'm just going to teach it again when I get back, all right? Because it's that important. It's kind of like when Einstein introduced the theory of relativity to the world. It caused a change in everything. Now, you don't even need to know what that necessarily is, but what he said is this, is that time as you know it isn't like time as you know it, and distance as you know it isn't even distance that know it, that time can go differently for different people at different places. It's like you can have twins born the same day, and you can do things that make them to be 20 years different in age, and it's like, whoa, how does that work? And you can have a measurement that's this long at this place and do something different, and that same measurement could be miles long, even though it's the same measurement. It just changed everything. And here's the thing. Nothing in nature changed. It just, we became aware of it, and as a result, it changed how we thought about everything. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today. It's that same kind of concept that even though it's nothing new, when we begin to understand it, it causes us to change how we look at everything and has the power to change how we go through life and how we connect with God. And we may be thinking it's one way, and all the while it may be radically better and different than the way that we thought it. So that's about today. But one other thing before we dig in is I'm going to ask you to be something in this message that's going to sound strange. In fact, what I'm asking you to be is something that you would think I would ask you not to be or preach not to be. For this message, for this to really hit home, I need you to be self-centered. You're like, well, aren't we, some of you are going like, oh, that ain't hard for me. In fact, I am the best at being self-centered. No, here's the thing, that when we hear a message like this, our thoughts often wander into the minds of people sitting around us, and we begin to limit ourselves by what others think is acceptable behavior, and we begin to give up authority for what we do to those that have no authority in our life, and we begin to relinquish control over what we do to those that really have no control over our future or our eternity. So I need you to be self-centered for a couple of minutes, you to be on center stage, and really the only consideration that you should be asking isn't, well, what do they think, not that, but rather, what am I going to do about this? What do I need to do about this? So as we begin, can you just help lock this in place? Can you turn to somebody and tell them, for the remainder of this message, I really don't care what you think? Man, I love you, but I really don't care what you think. Sorry. When the message is over and we get home, you know, I'll change, because you do need to change. But for this time, we need to just really be where we need to be, because I don't want you to miss out on what God has for you today because you're worried about what somebody else thinks. So, all right, diving into this. I want to start way back at the beginning and talk to you from the start. The Bible tells us about in the beginning that God created everything, and he put man and woman in the garden, and they had this relationship with God. Adam and Eve at the start, there was a closeness there, that in that place there was God. And there was man, there was Adam and Eve. And they were close. Intimacy, talking, closeness, transparency. The Bible says that God would come and they would meet together. There was a place where they would hang out together. They would do life together in the middle of what he created. It wasn't separate. It wasn't a place where they would go that was different from their everyday life. That the decision to have a relationship with God was simply that. It was a choice. And God gives one rule. And the rule isn't even that important. In fact, if you look at the rule doesn't even make a lot of sense from a rule standpoint. He says, look, I've given you everything in this garden. I've prepared everything for you. I've taken care of everything for you. I've given you responsibilities that you can do and put you in charge over all this. There's this one rule, don't eat of this tree. And here's what we need to understand. It wasn't the tree. It wasn't the thing that he told him to do. It wasn't that action. It was the fact that the rule was given to assign authority. That he who makes the rules is in charge. Right? I mean, that's true in your house. I mean, you with children, you set the rules for your children, not the other way around. Because you're in charge. You're the one in control. And so God, in his love, says, look, I'm going to make it really easy. I'm just going to give you one rule. And the purpose of the rule is to just let you know that I'm in charge, that I'm God, and I can do this. And just going to make it so simple. You can eat of everything, but just not this one thing. Because it isn't even the act. It's the respect and the understanding that God is the authority. And so this is the relationship they had. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was the way that it was meant to be. And he says, look, your relationship with me is just based on one very simple thing, a decision. Am I going to do what he says? Am I going to not eat of that tree? That was it. That is what the relationship started with. And that's all there was, a simple decision. There's the tree. Am I going to eat of it? No. I'm moving on. I got the rest of the world to eat from. I mean, come on. Decision. Because there was closeness. There was intimacy. Now, we see that it begins to break down. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see that it unfolded. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And we see this breakdown here. We know this story. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Something changed. Now, was it the tree? It's that they made the decision to supersede God's law. So here's the law. My choice now says, no, I'm going to break that. I am going to make myself equal. That I am, forget the act itself, it is the breaking of what God put into place. And I no longer respect God or recognize God as being the authority. You see this, and then they begin to notice, hey, wait a second, things have changed. And they try to cover themselves, and look at this next verse. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden. Again, just part of everyday life. In the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Look at what God says. He says, but the Lord called to the man, where are you? Where are you? Hey, I'm where I've always been. I'm where we've always met. Where are you? See, we're always here together. I'm here. Where are you? The answer said, I heard you in the garden. I knew you were there. I knew where you were because you were always, you know, there. You're where you always have been. And I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Now, here's what's going on here. Closeness, intimacy. There's a break. And what happens? Does God move away? Uh-uh. Man moves. Separating myself. Now, this passage or this story is often referred to as a loss of innocence. But rather, I'm going to challenge you a little bit to think of it this way. It's more than just innocence lost, because innocence says I really don't understand the ramifications. I really don't understand the full spectrum of it. I don't know the full series of what might happen. But rather, what is lost here isn't just innocence, it's intimacy. Because in the relation that they had before, something changed, and now I no longer feel comfortable being completely exposed to you. See, before, when there was that closeness and that intimacy, me being completely transparent, me being completely exposed to you was fine. But now that sin has entered in, intimacy is lost. Now, as we look at this passage, I think it's very interesting, their solution. It says that they tried to make a covering to solve how they were feeling, not what had happened. When Adam speaks to God, he doesn't say, "Hey, we broke what you said." He says, "No, I'm feeling distant. I'm feeling ashamed. I'm feeling uncovered, and I'm uncomfortable with that because we no longer have the intimacy that we had. There's a distance now between us. And because of the distance, because we aren't close, I feel uncomfortable being uncovered in front of you. And so to solve it, I'm not going to focus on the distance because I don't know how to solve that. I'll focus on just covering my uncomfortableness." And so the Bible says that I was looking for fig leaves, and I couldn't find any fig leaves big enough. So covering here, right? So covering. Make a covering. Cover up how I feel. Cover up to make me feel comfortable. And so their solution was to fix not the underlying problem, but to feel comfortable again, because really I don't know how to get back. What was started off in my relationship was a decision. Now there's a distance between. That my relationship with God now has a distance between it before I can get to a decision. There's a separation. Now, God speaks to this, and he says, okay, it's broke. It's there's a distance between us now. And he says this, the way to get back is by perfection. The way to get back is a perfect life. Sin has entered in, and the only way that you can overcome that is to be perfect again, to be sinless again. And so the scriptures, God gives this law as a measurement of how you're doing. He gives the law as a measurement to say, on the perfect meter, on the way back to God, how well are you doing? And not doing real well. And so what happens is we see a people focused on covering rather than solving the problem. That I feel distant. I don't feel comfortable with God. I don't feel where I need to be. So let me address that. There's a separation. There's a separation. Now, throughout the whole Old Testament, we see now that this has become the relationship with God. And as we read story after story, it's like man's attempt to work on that perfection, to work on fixing what he's covered with, works on fixing his actions and his work to get back to God. That if I behave myself and I do what's needed to be done and I do all of the right things, then maybe I can edge a little bit closer to God. Meanwhile, as you read the Old Testament, it seems like God just is hanging out here. He's like, you want to come to me? Here's how you get to me. Come on, try harder, work harder, keep the law, keep trying. And here's what happens, is the people say, well, we're trying, but we failed. We can't be perfect. So you know what? We'll just work on our clothes. We'll work on our covering to cover up our failings. We'll work on those exteriors so we don't feel so bad, so we look a lot better than what we really are. Meanwhile, there is this distance between us and God. And so people would work harder to get a little closer, and then in all reality, something would happen, and they'd fall back again in this measurement of distance between them and God. And all the while, this focus is on covering up, because we cover to try to make us look a lot better and a lot closer. But it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. The separation exists. In fact, as God gives the plan for the tabernacle or a model of how he communicates, it's like all of these steps, all of these things that they got to go through to get it right, to get into the presence of God. He's like, you got to sacrifice this, and it's only certain days, and these things, and got to wash a certain way, and only certain people can do this, and here are certain things you got to light with this fire and not that fire, and here's how things need to be, you know, made, and here's the colors, and all of the things have to be done perfectly. And they go through all of this, and they get to that place where they are to enter into the presence of God. And what is there? A covering. Separation. It says that even after you've done everything right, when you get right to it, there's still that reminder. There's a distance. You can't make it. There's a distance. And so again and again, we see people that through the Old Testament, as they try to connect with God, it's all based on how well they perform, how well they keep the law, how well they do exactly what God says, and when they fail and they come up short, put some fig leaves on, cover it up. And what happens is the distance became hopeless. Because we can't be perfect. So the focus became on looking good, not fixing the problem. And so we see a people so focused on this outward appearance, on doing the right thing or making it look like we're doing the right thing, when all the while the problem is it's not getting us any closer to God. Because we can't get any closer to God. Because if perfection is the only way, we can't do it. We say this a lot around here, but we mean it. You're not perfect. And if perfection is what it takes for us to get back into the presence of God, then I'm just sorry, you can't be that good. But yet, we try to act like we're perfect. We're pretty good at this. And just can I be honest here? Even in our walk with God, we act like we're places often that we are not. We act like we're a lot better than what we are. We talk about daily prayer and we go, yeah, that's good. You haven't prayed on a daily basis in years. We talk about reading your Bible, you're like, oh man, I love that. You don't even know where your Bible is. I'm being honest. We talk about having faith. Man, I'm going to pray for you on that. I'm with you. You will forget it the moment you walk out of here until you see him again. Oh man, you've been on my heart. Yeah, in the last 10 seconds when I felt guilty seeing you and knowing I hadn't done anything. But I look good. I have finest designer fig leaves you can find. And the problem is this. This becomes our faith. And we begin to think that this saves us, when actually, it's the distance. And we become comfortable with this because we realize I can never be that good. But here's the thing. When Jesus shows up on the scene, he begins to talk about God in a radically different way than God had been talked about. See, up until this time, God was always over here, and it was our responsibility to get to God. It was keep the law, do what it says, you know, fly right, you know, stay straight, do whatever you need to do, you know, get to God, get closer to God. Because when you get in the presence of God, then we get back to the way that it was, and it's a decision. It's, I'm in God's presence. Now, will I decide to connect with God? Will I decide to accept God? Will I decide to be with God? But I've got to get there first. And Jesus says, whoa, that's backwards. It's backwards. See, all this time, it was up to you to get there. But let me talk to you about a God that says, how about if I go there? How about if I head that direction? See, you can't come to me. You can't be that good. And you're so, you know, living a life that's fake, and you're trying to look better than you are, and it's not fixing anything. But let me tell you about a God that goes, and Jesus began telling stories. He says, like a God that someone loses a sheep, and they go and find them. See, up until that point, God was never talked about like that. The stories would be, well, the sheep got lost, but it was because it was a stupid sheep and it should have known better. And if it would have got its act together and stopped and considered its ways and looked at the path that it went, then maybe if it was lucky and maybe if it tried hard enough, it could find its way back home. And when it got there, the shepherd would say, you're stupid and you're grounded. And that's just because welcome. That's the Old Testament view of God. And Jesus began saying, no. How about a God that says, hey, I'm going to go look for someone that went wrong on purpose. Someone that didn't do what they were supposed to do, and there's a God that pursues them. And this is what made the religious leaders so mad. They're like, you're not talking about God right. That's not the kind of God that we know. Because our God says, here's the rules, here's all the regulations, and you're saying that you don't have to do that anymore? That the way to God is no longer based upon you being perfect? And they got angry with Jesus because they felt, you can't be that good. Who are you to say that you are from God, meaning that you are perfect, that you are sinless, that you are able to do what none of us have been able to do, even though we look like it? And they begin to call his bluff because they don't know, they know this. We know how bad we are, really. Even though we look good and we're trying hard, but we know that we're not perfect. Who are you to say that you are? Who are you to say that there's a God like that? Now, Jesus is saying, look, there's a God that says, I created in relationship to be a decision, but now there's this distance. And it's represented by this covering in the temple, covering all of it. And here's the amazing thing, that on Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, oh, this is so powerful. Look at this verse. When Jesus was crucified, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit, he died. Look at what happens. Look at this. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple, the separator between all of our best efforts and God, the reminder of there's a distance, was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Ripped open. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard this taught. And it's said this way, oh, now we have access to God. Now we can walk boldly into the presence of God. The door is open. We are welcome in. But let me just rattle you a little bit. According to God's word, you were always welcome into the presence of God. What got you there was your perfection. So let me say it this way. Maybe. What if this opening of the presence of God wasn't as much as about letting you in as about letting something out? Wasn't about you saying, hey, we put the welcome mat out, come on in. Because here's what that means. If that is true, then all of what God said before is nullified because he says, well, there's a waiver. It's not based upon perfection anymore. And that's not what God said. He says the distance can only be spanned. But here's the powerful thing. It wasn't that we just have full access. It says this, that God says, I have paid the price. And what I have released is that tearing open. There is no longer a separation, that God has moved to where we are. It's not based upon your actions to get to God. It's not based upon your behavior to get close to God. God says, I have made the journey back to you. I am with you, and we are back to where it was begun, that it's not about a distance that you have to get to me. It's back to simply a decision. Will I be Lord in your life? Now, you say, well, okay, that seems obvious, but here's where we begin to get off track. Is that if this is true, and God closed the distance, then no matter where you are at, you are close to God. Let that sink in for a minute, because we struggle with that. We say words like, oh, I'm closer to God than I've ever been before. You can't be. Because you're not the one who changes the distance. Well, if I could just get close to God again. I've drifted away from God. You can't drift away from God. It's not a distance thing anymore. God has closed the gap. We are back to a decision again, the same way that it was in the garden. It's not based upon your actions. It is not based upon your behavior to get close to God and then get to a place where then I can make that decision. God is right here with you always. The question isn't how close you are to God. The question is, how did you answer the question, is he Lord of your life? And when we begin to apply this to our lives, this is how it begins to change everything. If you've ever had how many have ever had a bad week, right, where you did things you know you shouldn't have done, right? Thank you for being honest. The rest of you just lied, and now you've had a bad week, okay? Okay, where we come in, and it just being honest, we feel that God is far away. And we begin to pray, and we begin to come into this, and we just don't feel it, right? Because it just seems like we've moved away from God, and God seems so distant. And then we begin to put in our mind, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this, then I can get back to a place where I feel close to God again. And we begin to assign these actions as prerequisites to our relationship with God again. When I understand that no matter how far I run and no matter what I do, that God is with me, it changes everything. And here is an application, that when we pray to God from where you're at, not where you think you ought to be. See, a lot of us come, it's like, well, Lord, I know I should have, and I'm going to get that right, and then I'm going to live for you. Oh, wait, you're missing it. You ever pray and tell God that you don't feel like praying? God, I don't feel like praying. Well, then, why would I do that? Because I feel so far away from you, God. Wait a second. Understand that God is here. And it's back to a decision. That when we come into a place of worship, we carry all of these things that we think has moved us away from God. And God says, you can't move any closer to me anyway. I've already spanned the distance. I've come to you, Calvary, released so that you no longer have to pretend. A covering is no longer required. You can be your own miserable self, and I am right there with you, and I'm asking the question, can I and will I be Lord of your life? No prerequisite required. And see, when I understand this, it changes why I do everything. In a distance model, I do things and I behave because it brings me closer to God. It makes me more perfect like God. It spans the distance between where I am and where I ought to be with God. And if I behave myself really well, then maybe I can get closer to God and be in that relationship again. And what Scripture says is you can't move. You can simply decide. And what God says is this, is that I have moved so that now all you need to do is decide. And here's the difference, here's the change, that when I begin to understand this, what I do for God isn't to get closer to God or to earn my way to God or to get to a place where I need to be in God. It's simply because I love God, and I am in that intimate relationship where I can be totally uncovered and comfortable with Him. I say it this way, that we do premarital counseling for couples coming in, and when you think about marriage, all of the rules and regulations that are involved in it, I mean, think about this, it's like, all right, so you're going to get married, here's what you got to do, right? So you can't date anybody else, that's done. You're gonna pay for, you know, each other's stuff. You're gonna split your income, right? You're gonna do all this. You're gonna have to, you can't have your way all the time. I mean, all of these rules and regulations, that if you think about that as a relationship, you're going, why would I ever want to do that? Okay, are you serious? You just go and, you know, hit me in the head. It'd be a lot painful, and I'd get it over with. You know, why would I want to do that? When we look at the rules, it's like, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Like, you've missed something. You've missed the fact that you love this person. You've missed the fact that you are just totally head over heels in love with this person, because when that is first and foremost, then everything else makes sense. I'm totally in love. You mean I can't date anybody else? Are you kidding me? Why would you even say that? I mean, I gotta help support them, and I gotta let them have their way sometimes, and I can't control the remote all the time, and you know, I gotta, you know, be loving and care. Are you kidding? I want to do that because I'm in a relationship, because we're close, we're intimate. See, it's the same way in our relationship with God. When we feel we have to earn it, we get to a place where we're faking it, because you can't be that good. And when we fake it, we miss it. And it becomes something that's not real. It becomes something that's just something we do. when we realize that God spanned the distance, and it's just a decision that every day, okay, God, regardless of what you said, and some of those things you said are kind of strange, but because you said them, that's what I'm going to do because I love you. It's my decision. I'm not earning my way point. I don't get points. I don't have good weeks and bad weeks. I don't have times where I'm further away than you or I'm closer to you. You are always with me. It is my decision to have you as Lord because this is what God gave in the beginning. He gave mankind the choice to serve him. He didn't mandate it. He didn't give him the ability to span the distance. He said, I'm giving you one thing, and that is the ability to choose. And what Calvary did is it got us back to the place where that is the only limiter to our connection with God. To choose him. The good news is this, is that no matter where your life is right now, you may have the best week you've ever had, that you know you've been away driving in a car. You didn't have to talk to anybody. You didn't see anything. You didn't, you know, no arguments. And you say, this has been a good week. Or whether or not you've had your worst week ever, you got in a fight, you know, and just said things you shouldn't have said, did things you shouldn't have done. Doesn't matter. Your decision is still the same. God is saying, I've spanned the gap of all of that. Your decision is, will I be Lord? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to get better. You don't have to change. Great is Lord. And start from there. We start from there. Now, Jesus summed it up. He said this. He says, the purpose of why he came is this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He says, look, God used to be over here because man separated himself. But because of Calvary, I'm looking for you. I'm going after you. And the God that created 8 quadrillion stars and then some, how good of a seeker do you think he would be? How over the top do you think God would be? He says, I'm coming after you. I'm going to get as close as I can to you. And when we understand this, it starts bringing clarity to the other things that he says. He says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that's great. When we look at that as the action of what we do, it saves us. We miss the point. That's a distance verse. He says, when you call upon the name of the Lord, he's there. He's there. Believe in the Lord. Yes, God, you're there. It's my decision. It's not based, that's not the action that we earn our way into God. That is the recognition that God is here. And my decision says, okay, God, you are my Lord and Savior. And when that decision is made, then my life begins to change as if you are truly my Lord and Savior. When I say, if I just call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved. You know what that does? It says that God is over here, and you know what? When I call upon him, that moves me closer to him, and somehow I've earned it. No. Because when that action is done, then what are you going to do? You see, when we understand that God spans the gap, and it's just our daily decision, God, am I going to do what you tell me to do? That's our relationship. God, today, am I going to do what you tell me to do? God, am I going to follow you today? Because you're here. You're close. You're able to save. You're able to lead. And it's up to me to simply decide. I don't have to earn my way. I don't have to gain and work my way back. It's this, are you going to be Lord of my life? And if you're Lord of my life, I do what you say. Because I love you and I recognize what you did. Now, here's a weird thing that you probably didn't think of in Scripture. And I'm wrapping up with this, because this is where a lot of us are. Put my fig leaves back on here. After this temple veil ripped, symbolically showing that God says, I'm no longer limited by your humanity. I will go after you. I will be where you are. You can't come to where I am. You can't be good enough. Perfection is needed, and I paid the price. I've come to where you're at. They sewed back the curtain. Think about that. It was somebody's job. Said, you know what? Hey, you see that? Yeah, we don't know. Boy, something happened there. That is weird. It's like everything was opened up. We got to get that back in place. We got to get that back. We've got to start focusing again and going back to our actions, our behavior, to cover up for the distance between us. And we got to make it look good. We got to put on air. So let's get that curtain sewed back up. And unfortunately, the church and us have gone back to worshiping with a sewn curtain. And we began to make coverings to cover the distance that we think is still there. All right, now here's where it gets real and weird and but awesome at the same time, okay? We say things like this. Oh, I would never say that in church. We say things like, as subtle as this, oh, that's our church clothes. Well, what is that? We'll see, because we again, good intentions, great intentions. We show our best to God because we honor him. Well, shouldn't you honor God on Monday too? Because how's that work? Well, don't ask me those kind of questions. We come to God in our best behavior. You don't have to raise your hand, but some of us act, talk, think drastically different in church than we do the rest of the time. Because we are still thinking that God is over there and we're trying to do things that get closer to him when God says, no, I'm right where life is. And it's not just people, I mean, as churches too, I mean, think about it, that along the way, church and this idea of what we do here has become so different than everyday life. Edifices that are huge and glorious and wonderful, but don't look like any place that you live, has become what we've identified as God's house, God's place. When what Calvary represents is this, there is no separation between where God is and where you are. It's not a date. It's not a time. You can't earn it. It's not a place. It's all the time. And God says, that's the kind of relationship I want all the time. I mean, can you imagine this? Like, for those of you that are married, can you imagine going to your husband or wife and saying, look, I really love you. I really do. But I tell you what, let's only be married on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But on those Tuesdays and Thursdays, I am going to talk different. I'm going to treat you different. I'm going to act like I'm married. I am going to just do all the right things that a good husband or wife would do on those Tuesdays and Thursdays. In fact, those Tuesdays and Thursdays, I am going to be the best husband or wife there has ever been. I'm going to give it my all. Well, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, that work for you? We would read about you in the news, wouldn't we? You know. Wife beats the snot out of husband, you know what I mean? What? Because that's silly. And again, and that's that action of like, well, can I earn my way back to justify the distance, right? Yet, how many of us in our relationship with God say the same thing? I tell you what, God, on Sunday mornings between 10 and 11, 11:30-ish, I'm good, man. I'm going to be there, going to do what I need to do, going to get all this. And then you're going to be impressed, so it's going to allow me a lot of wiggle room for the rest of the week. going to allow me a lot of leeway because look how I'm earning it, God. Look how good. Aren't you impressed with how I'm getting closer to you? I'm getting closer to you. And all the while we've missed it because you can't get closer to God. God is as close as he could ever be. It's just your decision. Am I your Lord or not? And the beauty of it is that something that we continue to make. Okay, God, am I going to do what you say? Are you Lord of my life or not? Because it's back to the way that it was. The beautiful thing is that heaven is decision made. Here we're deciding. God says, I'm taking the distance away. You don't have to earn it. You just have to go back to the way it was in the garden. I gave you what the life that the best life. And it's this recognition of my way. And when you do that, I'm your God and I'm blessed. And heaven is this, hey, your decision's made. It's done. It's complete. It's whole. So let me ask you, what are you covering up? What are you covering up? Because when you cover up, I don't know how to say this, but I'm just going to try to struggle and say this. When we live and start acting different than what we really are and pretending that we're better than what we are, then our faith becomes fake. And our walk with God becomes fake because we are acting like we're a lot closer to God than we are, and we become separated from our walk with God. And after a while we go, this is just the stupid facade that I'm going through. Why am I even doing this? And we miss it. But if we would just come again and again to from where we're at and realize that God is with you and close to you now, and that you can come to him and begin to understand what grace is and mercy is and what it means to love him and to follow him. That when you fail and fall, he is forgiving, doesn't alienate, doesn't abandon you. God doesn't turn his back on you and walk away. He says, look, my job is to seek and to save you. And to get to a place and say, God, I'm coming to you from where I'm at right now. And there's something in me that's having a hard time because I know I should do better and I should be better. And there was a time where I felt better about me. But what I don't have a hard time realizing is that you are as close as you have ever been to me. And the issue isn't me getting and earning my way back. The issue is simply, what is my decision right now? What is my decision? Are you Lord of my life or not? That's what it comes down to. Because at the end, Jesus says, look, there is going to come a time that after it's all done and we are being judged, there are those that are going to stand before him and point to all the great things that they did. And Jesus tells the story, says, there are going to be people that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at what I did. And Jesus was a great storyteller. He always went to extremes. And so he pulls out the most extreme thing. He says, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I mean, that's pretty extreme. I mean, look at all I did. Look at all of my actions. They've got to count for something, right? Look at how I've earned my way. Now, I know that, you know, there are some things that I didn't follow, but man, I did a lot of good things. And what does Jesus say? He says, sorry, I don't know you. You never said, you're Lord of my life. You did things, but it wasn't about your actions. It's about your decision. And the amazing thing is, and I'm reading into this and I'm not adding to scripture, but can you imagine the person standing right behind them? It said, God, I was a mess. And I didn't do anything supernatural like that. I didn't do anything great like that. But I recognized that you were with me, and so I just said, Lord, you're Lord of my life. I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to do what you say. And even though I didn't do all the supernatural things and do all the, you know, spotlight things, you and I had a relationship, and I was comfortable being fully uncovered in your presence because there was an intimacy there. And say, you know all of my faults. You knew all of the things that I want to cover up. You know all of the things that I would try to act like, you know, didn't happen and nobody, you know, I don't want to show anybody else, but God, in your presence, I can be totally transparent with you. I don't have to pretend. God says, hey, welcome home. You and I, yeah, we've been together. Because I know you're not perfect. I know you're not flawless. I know you're messed up. That's why I made the trip. That's why I spanned the gap. So wherever you're at, two questions. Number one. We said, what are you covering? What are you covering? And the second one is this. What's your decision? Is he Lord? And you say, okay, God, it's non-conditional. It's not a bargain. It's not an 80-20. It's you're either going to be Lord of my life or not. And all of my actions don't count for your favor. It's my decision to either you are Lord or not. So what's your decision? Not how well, not what you've done. My kids do it this way. Maybe your kids do. Maybe you do. I'm sure I did as a kid. Ask them to do something. Hey, why didn't you do that? But I did all these other things. Hey, I told you to clean the garage. Yeah, but did you see my room? Care about your room. I asked you to clean the garage. How many of us, when we come to God, God says, hey, you willing to trust me in this? Well, God, look at this other area. Look, I'm faithful in that. I know, but you trusted me in every area? Well, done some really good things on this area. Is he Lord or not? Because if not, you're just covering yourself up. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. The beautiful thing is no matter where you're at, today you have the decision to follow God. The decision to say, okay, God, it's your way. Lead me. I'm going to learn about you. I'm falling in love with you. Show me what I need to do. You're going to be Lord. Or you can go back and say, well, I'm going to try harder. Really? How's that worked? I'm going to do better. Really? How's that worked? You can't try hard enough and you can't do good enough. That in Scripture, there is nowhere that God says, thou shalt be perfect or else. But what we do read is God says, you're forgiven. Just come to me where you're at. And watch what I do. Calvary didn't give you access. Calvary released God to come to you. And he's right where you're at. And he's asking your decision, your choice. Isn't that awesome? No prerequisites. No taking into account all the crazy, messed up, stupid things you've done up until this point. There's no probation plan with God. There's no waiting period with God. God says, I'm here. Your choice. Let's stand.